Proverbs 18 tonight. The odometer rolls over. Some of you have been waiting for this for a length of time. So we come to number 300 this evening. Proverbs 18 and verse 18. The subject tonight is that of the lot, L-O-T. A means of peaceful settlement. A means of peaceful settlement. The casting of the lot. Proverbs 18 and verse 18. The lot causeth contentions to cease, and parteth between the mighty. The lot is the casting of the lot. We have been introduced to this subject previously in Proverbs in the 16th chapter and verse 33. Turn back there just for a second before we get into the text tonight. Proverbs 16 and verse 33, where we read, the lot is cast into the lap. Or actually a word not referring to the human midsection that is formed when we are seated, but is a bowl or an urn in the word that is used here. But the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. In that text, we saw the relationship of the lot in the lesson that teaches human freedom and as it relates to divine preordination or predestination. Humans take the die or the dice or whatever object that is marked. It's cast into the bowl, and when it settles, the humans did that freely. They cast it of their own ability, but the landing of it was determined by God Himself. And in that lesson, we studied through the scripture the relationship of human freedom as it relates to divine preordination. That you and I move freely through our choices in this life, and yet we move nowhere without the preordination of God. I'm not sensing that there is a noose around my neck that is jerking me like a dog who doesn't want to go. I've come to church tonight. I've come to preach. I feel free. I don't feel constrained. And yet I know that all of my movements and everything that we utter comes forth from the Lord. That is a divine mystery, isn't it? And to deny either, one must do damage to the revelation of God that's given to us in the Scripture. In the previous text there in Proverbs 16, we saw examples of how officers in the Bible were chosen in the New Testament. We saw how that houses were built based on the lot. We saw how that the children of Israel had their land divided up in the land of promise by the casting of the lot. And many, many more examples in the Bible of how the lot was used. But it was an acknowledgement of divine sovereignty. If you take the issue of God's divine providence and preordination of the movement of all the hairs on our head and the sparrows, and you disregard that, the lot becomes a superstitious thing. But if a religious person acknowledges the sovereignty of God, then when it comes time for disputes and issues to be settled in which that there are good arguments on both sides, and yet there seems to be no way of settling it, then there are opportunities at times to incorporate the use of the casting of the lot when the parties equally acknowledge that whatever the outcome is of God. That is, if it lands in this way, then this is the way that God would have the issue to be settled. If it lands this way, then that's the way the issue is to be settled. Now, coming tonight, though, it is not dealing with the relationship between human freedom and divine sovereignty as it did in Proverbs 16 and verse 33. But tonight, it is used as a means of peaceable settlement of contentions. When in the private relationships of human dealings, issues cannot be resolved, it is permissible at times to incorporate the practice of the casting of the lot. In judicial decisions, in which that there is not enough evidence at hand to be used, and all parties consent to the settlement, then it's appropriate for the casting of the lot, and various other circumstances in life. Now, bringing it up to date today, how would we cast the lot? Well, you could use a pair of dice, or a die, or one, or two, and the highest number would settle the matter. Can you think of some other ways in which that we use the casting of the lot?
Draw straws,
all right, very good. You get all straws equal, that right? Put them in, huh? Yeah, you shook your head there, no. Wouldn't do any good to make all the straws equal with you. You'd have to make them different lengths. And if you've ever remembered that game as a child of drawing straws to see who gets to go first, then you know what we're talking about, different lengths of straws. Any other ways in which that we cast the lot today? Flipping of a coin, heads I win, tails you lose. That right? Alan's sitting back there. He's not quite got into this thing yet. The heads I win, tails you lose. You're the kind of guy that I want when it comes to cast the lot, okay? I went either way with you, okay? When I go play golf, we start the golf game by casting the lot. You know, you golfers, do you know how that's done? We don't flip a coin, we use a golf tee. There's four of us in a foursome, and we don't want to get in a fuss as to who gets to hit first. So we throw the golf tee up, and wherever it lands with the sharp point that goes in the ground, that's the person that gets to tee off first. Now, we're all agreed ahead of time as to what the outcome's going to be. And therefore, since we don't want to get in an argument over who's going to be first, who's going to be last, we agree to cast the lot. We use these examples all the time in our daily living. But we who are Christians who use this, we have more in-depth understanding than the pagans at large, in that we believe that this is not an accident when the lot hits a certain way, but it is God which disposes the outcome of the lot, as we saw in Proverbs chapter 16. So that however the golf tee falls, that when we throw it up and where it lands where divine providence appoints it to land. And then we acknowledge, all right, it's of God, then that's the way we agree upon ahead of time. It's the Lord who speaks and makes the matter clear. So that contending parties then agree by the decision of the lot. Important matters of old under the divine theocracy in Israel were thus determined by the use of the lot. When the 12 tribes went into the land of Canaan, they had their place or their land ownership given to them in the land based on the principle of the casting of the lot. Now, if you have studied your Bibles and have watched human nature in existence for 40 years in the wilderness, you observe very quickly that the 12 tribes, though they were a family, they fussed a lot. Can you imagine then that final group that's ready to go into the land? Can't you just see them there? Ready to fuss and fight over who is going to get the best part of the land. Why, you could have insurrection and feuds that would blow the whole thing up. But God ordained the casting of the lot. so that no tribe could complain as to what portion of the land was to be theirs. And so they cast the lot, and you read back there in Numbers chapter 23, and particularly verse 54, among other locations, of how that all worked out. And no one could complain about which portion of the land they got, because they all believed it was God's providence that appointed them that portion through the casting of the lot. In the New Testament, you turn there to the book of Acts, when Judas committed suicide and passed from the office of the apostle, they had to replace him. And they used the lot to make a decision between two individuals. Look in the first chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. After laying down in verse 20, 21, and 22 of Acts 1, the qualifications to be an apostle, and those qualifications were that they had to have been alive and set under the ministry of John the Baptist and also under Jesus, and have been a witness of Jesus' resurrection, then anybody who could meet those qualifications, they narrowed it down to two individuals in verse 23. They appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen." Now notice they have used good wisdom in making qualifications for this potential office holder. Then they prayed about the matter. And then they said, "Now Lord, we've got two good candidates here. Show us which of the two you want." Either one would be able to serve in this capacity. Then verse 25, "that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. No argument. Settled. Matthias is to be the one involved with the casting of the lot. So that when the election was approved of, they all agreed it was the voice of God that settled the matter. Now why should there be times in which that the lot should be used in indecisive instances? Let me give you three cases in which that it would be wise to use the lot. It is helpful in the casting of the lot in that it prevents a waste of time. When the apostles were considering replacing Judas, they realized that while they were saved and they were spiritual individuals, that they might differ in their opinions on a matter. Can that be possible? Can Christians be spiritual and have differences of opinions on a matter as to how to go about it? Is it the more spiritual that always have the mind of God? No, it isn't. The apostles knew this. And they knew that if they tried to drag the thing on out, even though they were brethren in Christ, that they might differ in their opinions of the matter, and they saw the urgency of replacing the office that Judas vacated, then they determined the matter by utilizing the lot. And this is appropriate in decision making at times to use of the lot. I have played some foursomes in golf that knowing some of the temperaments involved, that if we did not use the method of determining that I just previously described a moment ago, why, we would have stood there 5 or 6 hours trying to determine who ought to tee off first. "Well, I think you ought to." "No, you go ahead." "No, I'm going to." It's settled quickly and you get on off by the casting of the T and determining that. Sometimes the use of the lot is necessary to save time. Secondly, the use of the lot also prevents a waste of material wealth. Sometimes material wealth can be wasted when this is not incorporated. Can you imagine, again, back in reference to the time in which that the tribes went into the land, that if they had not consented to God's appointment of the using of the lot, if they had started a warfare among the tribes, how much of the land would have been destroyed in the warfare? How much material wealth would have been lost unnecessarily through the ravages of war among the tribes if they had not utilized the use of the lot? So there's times then when it is helpful to preserve material wealth. Look at the ravages of war in our own lifetime and see what the great damages of the bombs and the napalm and all of that can do just to the landscape, and how many trees and things that can be destroyed that may take 100 years to recover from. If you can visualize if the tribes had started fighting among themselves in the land of Canaan over which portion of land that they would have gotten, of how much material wealth would have been destroyed in the process. And then thirdly, the use of the lot can even prevent a waste of human life. Back again to our illustration to that of the Hebrew children going into the land. How many husbands would have died? How many fathers would have died in war if they had got into a battle among themselves over the possession of the land? And because they utilized the use of the lot, then this spared human life. I wonder how many people have died through human history, through individual disagreements, and which one picks up a gun or a knife in some type of a relationship and kills the other person when it could have been decided by the flip of a coin. Wonder how many drug dealers are dead and in their grave today when a flip of the coin might have prevented something. How many nations have gone to war instead of sitting down and trying to settle the matter through peaceful discussion and then maybe coming to an arrangement? Well, if we can agree on this but we can't make the final decision, let's cast the lot and settle the matter right here. Now, at the same time that we are saying that the Scriptures do authorize the use of the lot, at the same time, it is not the predominant way of coming to understand the mind of God. For example, when we would seek to know the mind of God, it's far more accurate to know His mind through the revelation He's given of Himself in His Word. And it's far easier to cast or to flip a coin than it is to get into this book and find out how God would have us act on a matter. And if we take the latter method or the former method of casting the coin or flipping the coin, look at all of what we lose out on by not searching the Scriptures to see how these matters ought to be involved. It humbles us to have to confess that we don't know everything. And we learn patience and humility. We learn self-denial by getting into the Scriptures and seeing what the Scriptures would say and try to seek and determine the mind of Christ. Philippians tells us, let this mind be where? In you. Whose mind? The mind of Christ. Well, how would you know the mind of Christ? By flipping a coin? Far more to study the Scriptures, to find out the mind of Christ. And by doing so, although it may be more difficult and harder work, you'll come out more profitable by taking that route than trying to take the easy route. And you will also grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ and become known by your peers as a person of wisdom. Was Solomon a person of wisdom? What was it that the Queen of Sheba had to say after she'd come to visit him and went back to her kingdom? The half is what? Has not been told about the greatness of Solomon. Well, what is there in your mind, maybe the different people here this evening have different thoughts when the name Solomon is mentioned. Is there any instance in your mind that comes up that displays Solomon's wisdom? What is it? The baby? Yes, chopping the baby in two. That is, here the two mothers came. One, they both had children. One of the children had died, and both mothers were claiming that they were the mother of the one living child. They came to Solomon, the judge. They said, "We need help deciding the matter." And Solomon said, "All right, get me a sword. What we'll do, we'll just cut the baby in two and give one half to this mother and another half to the other mother." And immediately the true mother spoke up and said, "No, no, don't kill the baby. Give it to this woman." And Solomon knew human nature enough that the mother's loving heart, she wanted to see that child spared. Even if it meant her having to give up the child, she wanted to see the child spared if it meant going to the other woman. And Solomon said, "There's the real mother. Give it to the one who was willing to part with it." Is that a point of wisdom? What if Solomon, who wrote our text here this evening, has said, "All right, get me a coin, we'll flip a coin." You think he'd have been noted for all this wisdom? That every time that a case was brought before him for judgment, he'd just say, "Let's flip a coin." Do you think that he would have gained the reputation that would allow visitors to come to his great kingdom and say, "Oh, that wise man, he's able to solve all of these difficult decisions"? And you know what he does? He just flips a coin. Not much reputation is gained by flipping a coin. Sometimes that is appropriate. But Solomon gained his reputation because he studied human nature, he studied God, he studied creation. And as a result, he was able to make these simplistic yet complex decisions like he did with the infant and the two mothers who claimed to own the infant. Your life and mine, if we would grow in wisdom, we cannot take the easy way out. We cannot go through life flipping coins and casting golf tees and thinking that we're going to learn about God. But at the same time, that when it comes down to certain matters of decisions, that when all parties are agreed upon that the arguments are equal on both sides, and that there's no way to really be able to determine this, and yet all are agreed that whatever the outcome that God wants, that's what they want, I think it is appropriate under those circumstances for Christians to make use of the lot. Might even have saved a lot of anger in Baptist business meetings if we had used the lot rather than having these standoffs and trying to say, "Now, when we pray, now God, be in our meeting tonight and help us. We want your mind, we want your will, we want your way." And then we end up over two different divisions and we don't know which way to go. Far better to do what they did in the book of Acts. Seek out by wisdom people who are qualified to hold a certain position. Pray about it. And then, when it does not matter to which party gets the office, then cast the lot and see what the outcome is. Well, that's all I have to say tonight. You want to say anything else? I appreciate you coming this evening. It's been a rainy evening. You've come a long way to hear an unusual text. But I didn't choose the text. It just fell by where it was cast. All right. This is the lot that was cast tonight. That's what you get. If it wasn't enough, take it up with the Lord, and we'll try better next week, okay? We do have a good text next week. Come back. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Great emphasis in that. Brother Ron?
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
I was sitting here thinking about, under certain circumstances, things will come up that you would think that is so important. And so, I just think this is a stupid illustration, but Athanasius on the Trinity. I mean, you can see certain circumstances coming up when somebody say, well, let's just flip a coin and decide there's got to be something that we couldn't do that.
Oh, yes, yes. Don't take this as a broad principle. What was your illustration?
The Athanasius on the Trinity.
Oh, no, no, no. We do not settle doctrinal decisions and matters of that by the casting of the lot. It has to be on matters, I would say, in the circumstance of a Christian setting in which that Christians are agreed on both sides, that we've got equal arguments here, we've got equal people qualified, we could go this direction or this direction, let's let God decide it, and whatever the outcome is by the lot, then we'll go that way. But we're not talking about putting up the Bible and casting lots to determine whether or not that it is true or not true or some major doctrine that is contained in the Bible. Okay? Eric. Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. And I figured somebody was going to ask tonight, well, what about the lottery? That's coming up, you know, here in our state. What about the lottery? Well, that's where the word comes from. I'm not going to answer that while I'm on tape. No, I'm serious. I'm joking. What? You'll turn it off. Here, a few weeks ago, on a tape, I made the statement that in the message that we had two people murdered here in our church. And Pete, you and I have got to put an addendum on that text. And you all pointed that out to me. And what I meant is that we had two of our church members that were murdered, but not here in the church. So it doesn't always come out the way that you think that it does. Any other thoughts, questions this evening? Search the book. Exhaust all the information you can get. Pray about the matter. And if it comes up to where the Christians can agree, we don't know which way to go, then let's cast the lot and go from that direction. Okay? Candy? No? None? Okay. Any others? All right. Shall we cast the lot to see whether that we continue on or go home this evening?